Sonke Somapeqe on SAFM.
Professor Wim de Villiers, Stellenbosch University's rector or vice chancellor, he tells me, he doesn't recall that he said it to me, but he did, and I want to share with you just to whet your appetite. He's writing a book about his years in medicine and in academia. The title of it, his words, not mine, open quote, "From Rectum to Rector." Wim, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Sonke. So it's wonderful to talk with you. You know, we met at the Stellenbosch University alumni event last year in Johannesburg when it was just before the fourth wave struck.
Yes.
And you're right. I did mention that was meant as a joke. You know, I am a gastroenterologist, so that's why the title would be very apt.
The joke is now on you. You have to write that book because my listeners want to read that book. They want to read about your two or so decades in the United States, your work in medicine, as well as coming back to your country, Stellenbosch in particular, and contributing as you have in academia. And perhaps there's no greater compliment that you would have been paid as an individual and your administrative work, as well as the university and how it is shaping up to be a world-class university institution when you get a visit from as high a level an office as that of Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the DG of the World Health Organization. Tell us everything there is about this recent visit, particularly to the Faculty of Medicine and Health Sciences.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a great achievement, and we were very proud about that. So the reason why Dr. Ghebreyesus, as well as 2 weeks prior to that, the President Ramaphosa also paid a visit to our facility. And let me give some background. So the facility is at Tigerberg, at our Tigerberg campus in the Faculty of Medicine and Health Sciences. And it's located in our Biomedical Research Institute, BMRI. Mm-hmm. And the center that was established by Professor Tulio D'Oliveira is called CERI, or the Center for Epidemic Response and Innovation. And so it's a name that's somewhat of a tongue twister, but it has two parts to it. So it's epidemic response, and then secondly, innovation. And the epidemic response part is very much part and parcel of the current coronavirus pandemic, so that this center is set up to do genomic surveillance to figure out the genetic code of many of the infectious diseases that we faced with. And before I start with that, I think we absolutely need to also understand that we are in the midst and perhaps at the tail end of the coronavirus pandemic, but the scourges of HIV and TB are still very much with us. And there, they also need to be regularly undergo surveillance so one can see whether they're still susceptible to the medications that we treat them with. But in this specific case, it really gained a lot of prominence, and the center gained a lot of provenance because of the coronavirus surveillance and the work that was done by Professor D'Oliveira and his team in identifying both the Delta and the Omicron variants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only limited to coronavirus. There are several high-throughput sequencers in this institute, and what it will do will allow us to keep track of outbreaks of other viral diseases across the continent. So they're very significant and deep interactions and collaborations with other countries as well. So, and these viruses could be things like Ebola, it could be Lassa fever, it could be Congo viral hemorrhagic fever. There's also an outbreak of hepatitis E in southern Sudan recently, Lassa fever. So measles outbreaks also recently in the country. We had increasing reports of typhoid fever. So it will allow us to, and the team, Dr. D'Oliveira's team in Syria, it will allow them to get these samples from everywhere, and then using the really cutting-edge state-of-the-art technology to get to the bottom of what exactly is going on. So it's the epidemic response part, and then it'll lead on to the innovation part. And the innovation part is really what also prompted the visit of Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus and his team to the centre because they pledged support for the development of a mRNA vaccine hub. So that actually, for the first time, we will not only develop, but we'll also manufacture vaccines to these diseases on the African continent. It also has it's an epidemic. We're talking about epidemic, the epidemic response. And I think tomorrow is a national Women's Day, and we have an epidemic of gender-based violence in the country. So we know there's a huge backlog of DNA samples in these gender-based violence cases. Mm. And this center will also help the authorities, the South African Police Services, and some of their forensic labs to develop and to help with getting this backlog sorted out. It's a huge backlog, and I don't want us to lose sight that the definition of epidemic is actually quite wide.
It's a very wide definition, and I think just on that last point, what you certainly do need assistance with, which is not so much a medical intervention but perhaps a behavioral and social thing, is those who have been on the receiving end, victims of these, particularly these sexual assaults and crimes on them. I think a lot of that data is lost in the time between the event or the trauma and visiting a healthcare facility where all of that evidence is still fresh in the body, as it were. And I think it couples with a bit of the advocacy campaign that needs to come across in understanding what epidemics are and the value of time. You know, from the moment that event happens, as it were, the trauma, it's a race against the clock to ensure the sort of material, this DNA, the science is kept. But let's move a little bit away from that. And I think I'm going to give you a trumpet now, and I need you to blow it as loudly as you can. This is not something which happens every day to any institution anywhere in the world. The fact that Dr. Ghebreyesus himself came down at this most critical period in the advance of medicine the world over, and Stellenbosch has been that institution that has been essentially handpicked, one is a testament to South Africa's fight against COVID-19, particularly the science behind what is South Africa's policy and political outlook on this, but specifically Stellenbosch being at the forefront of these essentially world-leading scientific advances. And I think you've got to blow that. Got to blow the trumpet. Go for it.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. So maybe to give a little bit of background. So this biomedical research institute is almost completion now. And that was an investment of about 1.2 billion rand. And what that actually means, currently Stellenbosch University is together with some other of our infrastructure development projects, we're the largest developer in the Western Cape at the moment. I really want to also pay tribute to government and to the Department of Science and Innovation. They contributed 300 million rand to the construction of this facility. And in this facility is CERI, is the Center for Epidemic Response and Innovation. And this is supported as a center of excellence by DSI, but also significantly by the Wellcome Trust, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and another supporter is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, who is
a South African from
PE, you're right, and who is currently in LA, and he did very well as a physician scientist in the oncology field. He actually owns part of the Lakers, LA Lakers, and also
he's
the
in medical
Times.
Devices now, isn't he?
Largely. Yes, medical. So that's right. So he's also invested in the series to a tune of 225 million rand or so. But what really makes me excited, and I think because this is not something that's just on our Tigerberg campus, but it's something that Stellenbosch University is part of, where we are providing and research and knowledge in service of society in and for Africa. And let me expand on that a little bit.
Yes.
So Dr. D'Oliveira was given a grant by the Rockefeller Foundation for about $9-10 million. But what to me is an exciting part of this grant is that about $1.5 million of this is specifically earmarked for more than 120 or so fellows from all over Africa, both locally and across the continent, research fellows to be trained to do work on genomic research. So I attended a workshop recently, and it was so exciting. They were so they will be trained over the next 18 months. But at this workshop, there were about 30 scientists from all over Africa, and they were from the centers, CDC equivalents in these African countries. So they will go back and be able to provide good advice to their local governments. So I think this is an example of how we're contributing to both the generation of and the spread of knowledge in and for Africa. I think that's a very important line.
It is an important line.
Yeah, yeah. The other point that's also that I really like to emphasize, if you look at what and where Dr. D'Oliveira and his team includes other leading virologists such as Dr. Wolfgang Preiser, where they publish. They publish in top journals, Nature, Science, Lancet, New England Journal of Medicine. And these are the work that they publish. It can only be done by teams of collaborators. And what's really gratifying and heartening to me is if you look at the list of authors, where they come from, they're a lot of African names there. There's a lot of diversity, and so it speaks to a rise of African scientists and competence. So I'm very excited about that.
You certainly should be very excited, because it's within the realm of medicine, and that's exactly who Prof. Wim de Villiers is. But let's have this conversation now. Here we are. We are given, I'm not going to say a lifeline, because this is how opportunity finds the sort of hard yards that are put into advancing science and research and all the good things that come to inform a university. You mentioned quite proudly, and I support that, how this now is essentially an endorsement and an opportunity for all of Africa. But South Africa does have a small, big problem. Kitlapila was supposed to be the state vaccine manufacturer, and essentially we were caught with our pants down when this pandemic came through, because had it been sufficiently capacitated, only perhaps the impact of COVID-19 might not have been as bad as it has in fact turned out to be. How do we ensure, through at least this intervention and all the partners domestically in the advancement of health and sciences, we are able that much quicker to meet our public health demands in this country? What do you envision this to effectively mean going forward?
Yeah, so as I said, I think this is exactly what we need. And I think we were caught with our pants down to some extent. But I think it's not only a South African issue, because one thing that the coronavirus, that the pandemic showed us, and vaccine manufacture and distribution showed, it really emphasized the inequity in the world, in the health inequity in the world. And this will help us to address that to some extent, because we can produce the knowledge here. We have that here. And we also have the expertise to produce vaccines. So, for example, Dr. Ghebreyesus represented the World Health Organization here. At that visit, there were the ambassadors from the EU, the European Union, from France, from Germany. The Belgian minister was very passionate about this issue, and that is that they invested in a mRNA vaccine hub here in South Africa. So mRNA vaccine is not the only type of vaccine that we need to look at, but this is to your point, it is a significant investment in our ability to deal with these sorts of epidemics, pandemics in the future, and we will have them. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that we will have them. But I think we're much better prepared to face them.
Let's leave it there. One, anticipating that the work of SERI, once it is up and running, is going to yield all the returns it promises, and then some. And of course, at the end of this five-year term, Wim de Villiers, Stellenbosch University Rector and Vice Chancellor, with a media house, will release the much anticipated From Rectum to Rector, his book, tailing his years in public service, both in academia and in medicine. Prof. de Villiers, VC, Bayranki.
Thank you very much. That was lovely. Thanks.
21:47. Good night, everybody.